As many of you know, the local hour, August 17th, is going to be something that changes our workflow. We will tell you more about it in the coming days, what it is that we have planned for August 17th when we lose an hour on the radio, but we're going to increase the size and the volume and the variety of the things that you find on the podcast. The local hour is going to have all of the same things that you like. You just don't know which day you're going to get what. It's going to have some Stugat, some me. Obviously, it's going to be the Lauer and the Lauer Rangers and all the stuff that you've become accustomed to. And I've already talked too much because the Marlins won a doubleheader yesterday. It sounds like these guys are already back in, that they are now. Should we call my father, Billy, and just ask him what he knows about the Marlins, whether or not, do you guys want to, like, celebrate with Miami? This is as good as the Marlins have felt since when?
Since yesterday. It's every day. It's just getting better and better. Dan. How about you? Have you watched any Marlins games, by the way? I feel like you forced your way on today to just poo-poo us and tell us, like, this isn't good, guys. Because it seems like we're happy and you're like, I want to come on and talk about the Marlins. But I know it's not going to be positive. I know this isn't going to be like, hey, the Marlins might be surprisingly good. This is something we should be happy about. So what's the end game, Spence? What's happening here?
I simply wanted to be around the enthusiasms of you guys. I simply wanted to know if Roy was back in on baseball.
Yes.
I know Chris is back in on baseball.
So Billy
is back in on baseball. Roy, the only one among us to hit a home run in the former football stadium that was Marlins Park. Are you back in on the Marlins, or are you just watching Panther games?
I've always been in on the Marlins and on baseball, but I've been watching Panthers this entire time because
I went for the Ice Cats yesterday.
Gigantic one. But we're talking about Marlins right now, so you guys go ahead.
Oh, this is so big for the Marlins. I love that I did literally not know one person who pitched in that second game yesterday. But it doesn't matter. One run baseball, they gave up one run all of yesterday, two games. Oh, Dan, does anything make more sense for this 2020 than having the Marlins play a World Series game in an empty stadium? Nobody deserves to play a World Series game in an empty stadium more than this Miami Marlins team. We deserve that as fans, honestly.
At the risk of being the poo-pooer, I think the worst thing about the 2020 pandemic is simply the Orioles.
Orioles were a first-place team a couple weeks ago. I mean, it was the first week of the season, but look, they had like 21 or 22 straight scoreless innings out of pitchers. Or is that – that's also – it's the Orioles. Oh, we can't be happy about the Marlins. What can we be happy about? Why don't we start there, because it seems like it's going to be a shorter list. What can we be happy about with the Marlins, Dan?
Well, if I may, before I answer that question, can I just ask you how many of the players in the second game you, Billy Gill, knew? Like, how many?
All of them. It was the start. I mean, the pitchers, they used all bullpen pitchers. Basically, there's a Josh A. Smith. There's a Josh, like, B. Smith and a Josh C. Smith. There's a couple Josh Smiths on the team. There's a Caleb Smith on the team. There's a couple Smiths there going around. But you know what? It was an impressive game. And the position players all played. All-Star Andy was playing first base for the first time. A bit of an adventure, the first play of the game, where it didn't seem like maybe his foot was off the base, but we got away with one there. We won that review. But we lost a review on the first game. That was a disaster. Did you guys see that? Dan, I know you were watching, obviously. What did you think of that review that they lost in the first game? Absurd, right?
Yes, Billy. It was totally absurd. I was locked in on it. I was calling New York myself to see if I could get further information that was beyond the broadcast.
I mean, Billy, you thought that hit his bat? I didn't think it hit his bat.
It totally hit his bat. It changed directions. It was... Hold on a second. There was a play where it was a pitch that was up and in, bounced off the bat, changed directions, hit the guy in the shoulders, like, ugh! And then he went and he took his base. And they gave it to him after review clear as day, bounced and changed directions. But we don't need to dwell on that because they won both games of a doubleheader.
What? We cannot be complaining about that, though.
I'm not complaining.
We need an automated strike zone. There are so many missed calls by umpires. I don't know if umpires were just vegging out for 6 months, so they've come back a little out of shape. But umpires are struggling early on in this season. And it benefited the Marlins yesterday. Yesterday, late in that first game, they had two strike three calls that were clearly balls. Like, I don't know why we're not doing it with an automated umpire with, like, the strike zone. Because it worked for us, but I would be infuriated if I was an Orioles fan.
So, Chris, hold on. Enough people haven't lost their jobs. Chris is not coming after the umpires to lose their jobs, too, in 2020. Okay.
So, Chris, hold on. You have the umpires practicing their, you know, strike and ball calls somewhere at their house? You have them crouching behind a chair. Like, what do you have them doing to work out that muscle of their eyes getting the right strike zone?
I'm wondering how Joe West stayed sharp during quarantine.
Did you stay sharp? You used to be an umpire. What would you do?
I didn't stay sharp. Look at me. There's a reason you've only seen me from the shoulders up over the last, like, 4 months. It's because it's not great over here. This is tough times. I don't know.
Not physically, but like sharp mentally in your eyesight. So you just gave yourself like a 2 or 3 game leeway when you took over?
I'm just saying, Marlins pitchers, when they were quarantined, were throwing into mattresses. I don't know what the umpires were doing at home. Maybe like their kids were throwing balls in strike and Joe West was kneeling behind his, like, you know, 28-year-old son throwing a bullpen and just practicing. But I'm just saying, these umpires have been bad, and we need to go to an automated strike zone. This is not the day for that platform. The Marlins are making the World Series, but I just wanted to get out there with that.
I don't know about that.
Forgive me for this, but I really would like to see you because I haven't seen it in a long time, and it has been one of the few things that has soothed me during the pandemic. Your strike call, your strike three call, that if you had been, as an umpire, practicing at home, can you explain to people, because this is audio, how it is that your strike call looks, and reenact it for us, because it makes me very happy. And furthermore, did you see that Boog Shambi, in a tribute to your father, and that your father's, you don't know what I'm about to say, tribute to your father, he did hee-haw three during a South Korean baseball game. Greg Cody, for those of you who don't know, this is very inside. Greg Cody used to be the umpire of Chris's street baseball games. Mm-hmm. And the way he would call strike three would be to say, hee-haw three.
Wish you were kidding about that, but you're not. But yes, Dan, I'd love to give you my strike three call. All right, I'm going to move the camera up so you guys can't see my waist. All right. All right, here we go. So you squat up behind the catcher. This is strike one and strike two.
Now you've squatted out of frame, though.
Nah, I'm here. I just don't want you to see my belly. All right. Hut! Huh. See, you don't say strike. Only rookies actually say the word strike. You just give it a guttural.
So that's one. That's strike one.
Yeah, that's just strike one.
And then you point to the right.
And you stand up and you give a firm point to the right. There's
two fingers.
There's no like lollygagging with the. You get two fingers straight and you just go strike. All right, so here's strike two. My daughter's looking at me like I'm crazy. All right, 0-2 count.
Wait a minute, hold on, forgive me for the, what is the difference between strike one and strike two? I didn't see any discernible difference.
There was a sound difference.
Just like more, a slight longer. Yeah. The strike one is, yeah. Strike two is, yeah. Strike two, all right, so we got 0-2 count. You want to let everyone know, 0-2, 0-2, 0-2, all right.
Well, you need a ball in there so we know what a ball would be like.
Oh, it's ball.
Ball.
Okay.
Oh.
Just very easy, very simple, very, 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 very simple. All right. And now next. So now
let's say there's a foul tip now.
Yeah, foul tip.
No. This is not a foul tip.
It's a foul tip.
Okay. Foul ball.
Do you exchange the ball after the foul ball?
Or yeah. What's your ball situation? How do you like, you rub it? What do you do?
Well, see, a lot of
times. Tell us about your balls. Tell us about rubbing your balls.
A lot of time, the ball boy will run over, and they have three balls. I'm more of a two-ball guy. I only like two balls at a time, so I take the two balls, put them in my sack. All right, here we go. 1-2 count.
How is Chris more subtle than you, Dan? Like, that was more subtle than
you. Wait a minute. That was not more subtle than me. I just repeated what he said, rubbing balls. He escalated the situation, threw in a sack.
He likes
1-2 count. 1-2 count. 1-2 count. Ball. All right. Ooh, see, you're expecting strike three.
2-2.
Just outside. That was good. Just outside. 2-2.
Ooh. Any runners on or no?
I don't know. That's not my job to know.
See if there's a box. I'm wondering if there's a box situation.
Do you tell people just outside? Do you whisper?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Low. Yeah. Like, you got it. Like, it was too low. Yeah. I like to be descriptive.
So it's a full count now.
Yeah, we're in a full count right now.
If it's close, sometimes I'll look over at the dugout and let them know with my fingers how far it missed. I'll like look over and be like, a little about like that side out, that much outside.
Into the dugout, not the batter.
Whatever. All right, here we go. 3-2
count. Now we can't get a balk because it's a full count. This is disappointing.
All right. 3-2 count, wind up, and
it's
going to
be a strikeout. I feel it.
Oh, look at that. Tony, how would you describe the movement? There was a hip thrust. There was a hip swivel. We didn't see the hip because he's hiding from us.
there was a nice judo like move too in it. Like he's very taekwondo in his calls. I like it.
Thank you.
I felt like you struck him out looking though. Is it like if someone strikes out swinging, is it different or are you just as dramatic?
Yeah. Well, no, it can't be as dramatic.
Yeah, it's not as dramatic. It should be. That'd be awesome, but it's not. Yeah. Thank you for letting me do that. That was
well.
Awesome.
Wait, no. Let's go through what it looks like if someone strikes out swinging.
Yeah.
Mostly. Okay.
It's just all a right. strikeout, right? You it's, just stand up.
No.
All right. So it's just like, all right, and he swings. Ha! You just give a little.
Strike
like
one?
You don't really say anything. You just go, huh? And you just throw the arm up with very little actual, like, audible noise just to let everybody know that that's out. That guy's out. Let's get out of here.
Did you get, like, training in this when you became an umpire? They're like a – not necessarily like a certification, but – did you get some sort of instruction like this is kind of the protocol, this is what we do? Or
look, I don't want to brag, but yes, I did do a camp like that. Not a full camp, but like a night, an evening like training session. And by the second training session, I was the guy that they'd be like, Chris, come over here, be in the A slot.
Wow.
Show how you jog over to the B slot when there's a base runner. Like I was like the teacher's pet that they were like, Chris, show them how to do it. Like
what's the A slot versus the B slot? Because before it seemed like you were behind the plate, but I know that a lot of these games you're behind the pitcher if there's not right. enough umpires, right?
In high school, like in high school baseball, the A is like behind first base, like the when there's nobody on base. And then if a runner comes on first base, you move over to the A slot, the B slot, which is to the like there's basically either side of the pitcher you can be on. That's the B slot and the C slot. Mm. Umpiring. Look at us. Marlins are winning the World Series.
All right.
Do you rub your balls before you choose between the A slot and the B slot?
Sometimes. The funny thing about rubbing balls is last night, Donnie basically, there's a lot of rules that they're doing with these Marlins games that like, you know, they're not high-fiving. When the coaches high-five after a win, they're like touching hats. They're touching their tips of their hats. And it's like a weird way to
tips.
Give.
Tips, he said.
Yeah, he
tips.
Did.
They're touching their tips of right. their hats.
You don't have to say it.
He's... What other tips would they be touching? And so they slap hands with just touching hats, which I don't know. I feel like there's germs in hats. I feel like that's not that safe.
The worst part about it is that some of them are just touching the hat, not with their hats, with their hands. And then the one right after goes and touches the exact same spot on the hat with his hands. So it's kind of like just touch hands. But, if you're all going to be touching the same thing with your bare hands. With
but then what happened was we made a pitching change and I saw a new ball get exchanged. So like the old ball that the previous pitcher was using, they threw a new ball to Donnie's because he's like, I got to give the ball to the pitcher. There's some things we can't change in baseball. So he's holding the ball and I see Donnie, he's like, he's doing that thing where he's rubbing the ball up and it's like, dude, so you're slapping hands by touching the tips of your hats, but you're allowed to just like rub the crap out of this ball before handing it to the pitcher. I was just like, I don't understand. And the way
old habits die hard, Chris.
And the way Donnie wears a mask, that's another thing. It stresses me out. I'm sure it's a high tech mask and I'm sure he's wearing it properly, but the straps are like at the bottom of his neck. Billy, that's stressing you out the way Donnie wears a mask, right?
It's not great. It definitely led to people tweeting out pictures of it when there was news that the Marlins had a spread of coronavirus. Like, hey, here's the manager wearing the mask wrong. Did you notice that each pitcher has to run on and off the field with his own rosin bag? So, like, after every inning, they have to go back and grab the rosin bag, which seems to me like it's ripe for cheating, right? Because you could put anything on there and no one would know. You just go and you're like, oh, I got to get a little rosin on my hand. And, oh, no, it's like something else. Oh, there's some pine tar on here or whatever. You know what else they haven't done that I've seen this year? There was dead space, so I'm just going to keep going. So a lot of people I've seen, like when they hit a home run, they'll like point to the crowd. There's a curtain call. You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for an out to end an inning to an outfielder where he just turns around and throws a ball into the empty crowd. That I haven't seen yet.
that is good. When we come back, more Marlins insanity.
Yeah!
And we're back. All right, Billy, there's another thing as we're on this topic of just things that are making us say, huh, what's going on there? The Marlins are – I don't know the rules on when they can throw the ball around after an out. Because sometimes you notice after a strikeout, they're not throwing it around and they go right back to the pitcher. But sometimes they do. So it's just stressing me out. It's kind of like the spitting thing with Dusty Baker. I just don't know the exact rules.
It seems like they're making up the rules as they go this year because, like, now all of a sudden teams today, hey, they were 30, not today, 28, and you had three people that could, you know, be on this taxi squad. Nope, now it's five, rest of the season. Hey, doubleheaders, seven-inning games, by the way.
I love it.
Woo!
Love it.
I watched 5 hours of baseball yesterday, and I felt like it was, like, 2 hours. It flew.
Mm-hmm.
quick game, seven-inning
game. Wait a minute. How is that? Explain that part to me. So you prefer the seven-inning game because it just tightens everything up in terms of stakes and speeds everything up?
It was pretty quick. This is one thing I would change about it, because the broadcasters kept saying, oh, it's the bottom of the sixth, which is really the bottom of the eighth, because there's seven-inning games in a doubleheader. So what I would propose to Major League Baseball, who seems to be doing just fine on their own, and they have everything figured out, so what do they need to listen
to? I know where you're going with this. I know where you're going with this. Go.
I think we need to start in the third inning.
Yes.
Start in the third inning, and then we play into the ninth inning. And then there's no confusion, and everybody's like, oh, it's the ninth inning. Okay, great. That game ends here.
I love that Chris has gotten fluent in Billy.
Like, well,
I no, he
common
he,
sense.
He it makes
was,
sense.
He was yes, just start in the third inning. You're right.
Dan, if you were listening last night, Paul Severino felt the need to make the clarification every single inning. Billy is so right. He'd be like, it's the top of the second, which is the equivalent of the top of the fourth. It's like, we get it, Paul. It's a seven-inning game.
Dude, Hollinsworth was on a tear yesterday. We wanted to have him on today. Maybe we'll try for tomorrow. Oh, man, he was great. He must have said splitties 6,000 times yesterday. And he just kept screaming, good take, good take, as if he was in the dugout the entire game. Every two, good take there, good take, good take. It's like, okay, Tom.
Good eye,
gotcha.
Good eye.
Yeah.
Pitcher's a belly itcher.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also got a little meathead to him where they were doing
A little.
Okay, well, I was trying to be nice. So they're doing this thing. Well, I'm a meathead, so we like to be nice to other meatheads. So they do this thing where they have a picture of all the Marlins players that were sick on the road, like sitting in the stands. So like they have cardboard cutouts of like all the sick Marlins, like, and they're like, they're here in spirit. It's nice and all that stuff. But they have the pictures socially distanced. And Paul Severino is like, yeah, we're socially distancing, even the cardboard cutouts. And Holly gets in there all heavy-handed. Oh, come on. These aren't real people. They're pictures. Why can't we put them next to each other? I would have put them right next to each other. And then Paul Severino's like, we're just trying to send the right message. He's just like, oh, they're just cardboard. He, like, didn't get it.
Yeah, he's like why are you kidding me? What are they going to think of next? Then he did his chuckle. He's got a great chuckle, man.
Hold on.
I love Holly.
I wanted to talk to you about this. Please explain to me, because – you have seen every incarnation of Marlins broadcaster. Does six-year-old Billy remember like Jay Randolph?
Oh, yeah. Dave O'Brien and Jay Randolph. Oh, Joe classic. Angel, get out of here. What are you talking about? Do I know?
Hold on. You got
to go. Boog used to be a Marlins broadcaster.
Oh, throwback. Yeah.
Boog was great as a Marlins broadcaster. But
no Todd Hollinsworth. I'll tell you that right now.
Wow. All right. So explain to me, you know how I feel about most of this stuff. And what I want to do when I listen to a broadcast from the color man is I want to learn something. Mm. That doesn't happen too often for me with Hollinsworth.
What?
Can you tell me what you like about him?
Everything. I like his vibe. The guy's a G. He has this great energy. He comes in. He's just enjoying the game. He's saying good eye when it's a good. He's one of us. He's an everyman. He talked about popsicles a couple weeks ago. He's the best.
I feel like Dan's rule of thumb is better for national. Locally, we want passion. We want somebody who's in it with us and wants the Marlins to win. I feel like I'm like texting Billy often. There's nobody that likes this Marlins team as much as Billy, me, and Todd Hollinsworth.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, like that's the feeling I get from him. I'm like, yes, that's it. This is our year, Todd. 60 games, small sample. We got this. Like,
we're already a tenth of the way through the season, Dan.
We're 13.
No one's slowing us down.
We're 13.5 and 2-7. That's our record right now. 13.5 and 2-7. Would you be excited if that was their start?
Wait, what?
In real?
I have no idea.
What does that mean?
What kind of standings are those that you just gave? We're 13-5 and 2-7. I have no earthly idea what any of that meant.
13.5 and 2.7. Every game this season in a 60-game season is worth 2.7 games. I did five. They're 5-1. I did 5 times 2.7. It's 13.5. They're 13.5. And if we were playing 160 game season, their record right now would be 13.5 and 2.7. That's what I'm saying.
Man, maybe we should have a broadcaster that teaches us stuff.
I'm not wrong. You guys do this all the time.
I understand it now. I just didn't understand what you were saying. I now understand what you were saying. You were prorating it. You were just doing some complicated math. None of us expected it from the oaf, and you explained it very poorly and just threw a barrage of numbers in our face.
This is something I run into a lot. It happened to me yesterday with this the brownie pan that I was trying to explain. I know what I'm talking about, and I mean the right thing, but I say it poorly. Okay?
That is so very bad for me. like that. It just what you just said is sort of a viral strain on doing radio correctly.
What do you want from me? I didn't ask for any of this.
Super Bowl week.
Aqua?
So, Dan, you Marlin or you Marla? What's going on?
Like,
here?
Seriously. Honey,
I'm happy that you guys are excited. I'm happy that you guys have something to be excited about. You guys have gone a damn generation without having anything in South Florida that's worth a shit. Like, nothing.
Mm-hmm. We've had like six championships. We're good. The Marlins have won two. The Heat have won three. It's been fine.
Outside of the Heat. Am I allowed to curse on this hour?
I mean, you've done it plenty.
I mean, you dropped an F-bomb.
Late. Yeah, you said the F-word. That's tough.
Oh, yeah,
you're
good.
Can I keep doing that or should I stop doing that?
I suggest you stop doing that.
Can I just say one more ridiculous thing? Because we probably should talk some hockey too. The Panthers are still in this thing. They're still alive. Rawr, rawr. Right, Roy? But last night, Billy, what are you thinking about? So they're doing the post and pregame for the Marlins at the stadium. So they have Jessica Blaylock, Tommy Hutton. That's another thing. A quick tangent. Do you think Tommy Hutton, like when he sits there, he's doing post game, like he's looking at Todd Hollingsworth and just, he probably hates everything Todd Hollingsworth's saying, right? Because he secretly wants that gig. He secretly wants that gig, right?
So you think he hates Todd Hollingsworth?
He's seething. He's watching the games and seething.
Thank you.
I mean, you know what I've wondered watching the pre and post game? Like, why can't they turn on the lights in the stadium? It seems like unnecessary for them to be sitting in the dark and just have like, you know, like floodlights on them to lighten them up. Turn on the lights.
And they insist on having the third person in their broadcast being somewhere random in the stadium. Mm-hmm. Like they're doing a two shot of Jessica Blaylock and Tommy Hutton at this big table that has room for three people, but yet they have Gabby Sanchez being the third voice and he's like in the dugout. Like
they're
trying to hit you with these different angles.
It's odd. Yeah, like, they've had like JP Arencibia like in the batting cage, like behind home plate. It's like, what are we doing? I mean,
I want someone to be in the fish tank.
10 like feet away is probably like, fine.
Snorkeling in the fish tank and trying to talk with like a snorkel in their mouth. No? Yeah. I took it to an extreme point.
Well, like, I like
it's fine.
No, keep making it more and more absurd. I'm with you.
Thank you.
Already do the stupid thing of putting someone near the bathroom to have a different camera angle in a totally empty stadium. Just go ahead and keep being more and more absurd. Like you just every once in a while you check in with, you know, Minervini and he's shirtless for no good reason. Like he's just sitting on third base shirtless.
That is actually what they should be doing. They should be taking advantage of the field that they're not using at Marlins Park. Like, I just want to see someone sitting crisscross applesauce on home plate with no shirt on. Like, that's how I want Craig Minervini to do his mid-game hit.
You know, they really could use the field, actually. Like, they used to have those, like, in-game, like, that little fake room where I think they're actually broadcasting all the games from, where it was, like, they'd have a batting tee and, like, Jeff Nelson would come and teach you how to hit. And it's like, well, Jeff Nelson, you're a pitcher. Why are you teaching me how to hit? It doesn't matter.
Jeff Nelson can hit. Jeff Nelson can hit.
Really?
Softball with Jeff Nelson. Jeff Nelson can hit.
Wow. Why have you played softball with Jeff Nelson?
In the boob thing.
Oh, just it's something I do on Monday. Pre-pandemic, of course.
I like having the idea of Gabby Sanchez on the roof for one of them. All of a sudden, they pan up and Gabby Sanchez is rappelling from the roof.
That's what I mean.
Guys, we're here.
Like they've taken it to an extreme, but let's keep it going. Let's keep pushing this. Let's see how ridiculous we can make this. Like put him in an astronaut suit at some point, and he's just like, I don't know. See, there's no bad ideas. We're just spitballing ridiculous.
Where would he be with the astronaut suit? Where would he be?
No,
no bad ideas.
This is a spitball session, Tony. You just start throwing stuff.
13-5, 2-7.
Yeah, 13.5 and 2-7.
Can you help me with something, please? Because in part of what we're trying to do here in the evolution of this show, with what the local hour becomes, this is going to be a really cool, exciting burst of sports stuff for us here in South Florida that we haven't had locally, because we're going to get, basketball, Heat basketball. We're going to get whatever's left of this Marlins enthusiasm. And you guys haven't talked enough about the Panthers being in the playoffs, and Roy's wearing his Florida Panthers cap today. Roy, I believe, is the only black person in South Florida paying attention to what is happening in hockey right now. So give me an appraisal of what you saw yesterday. They saved their season. They went down 0-2. They immediately diluted any enthusiasm you had by having the worst possible start in a way that was totally deflating. They gave you something yesterday. Are you hopeful because hockey can be random, or are you just busted up because it's same old Panthers.
Well, technically busted up, but that was a pretty good win last night. Yesterday, two power play goals. The power play was much better, but they definitely need to avoid getting penalties, especially when they're on their own power play. That's been a scourge lately. And the defense was better yesterday. They avoided the turnovers that's been plaguing them all season. And Sergei Bobrovsky played very well. He played well in game two and tried to keep them in the game in game two, but that failed. But yesterday was a very inspiring win. And on Friday, they'll do it again for game four.
Do you feel lonely because you can't talk about this with these guys? None of them care. Like, they don't care at all.
Whoa. I'm on the bandwagon. Let's do this. I know I can name like four players.
Yeah, Aaron Ekblad. Boom.
Hoffman.
Bobrovsky. Boom.
Yeah, I don't care.
I just said that.
Coach Q.
Even the player.
I'm pan in.
Wait, the Panthers are 1-0 in must win games in the playoffs. That's all I know. And this is a must win game on Friday. So let's.
Is this the playoffs? Because it's not. They keep calling it like a play in, but it is the playoffs.
It is the playoffs. It's a qualifying round to go into the first round of the Stanley Cup.
Playoffs. Wait a minute. That's a play-in, though. That's not exactly what
I'm saying.
So what would you call the play-in games in the NCAA basketball?
Wow.
Play-in game.
Play-in games.
In the tournament, right?
No, those teams.
Those teams. I mean, but the league is making it a point to say that the next round is the Stanley Cup playoffs, and this is not the Stanley Cup playoffs.
The league's not making it a point of not calling it the Stanley Cup playoffs for the qualifying round. It is the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I love that the Panthers are in the playoffs and we don't know if they're in the playoffs.
Well, they're not in the playoffs.
I know they've never been in the playoffs. We've been watching for how many years? They're always 5 points out of the final playoff spot. Now they're in the playoffs, but we don't know if they're in the playoffs.
I mean, they go from 2 points to 5 points. I mean, make up your mind. Jeez.
They have to play in the playoff, Dan.
I love that the Panthers, who are – they're now like our worst team of the major four teams.
Oh, God, this is good.
I'm just saying, like, we've come a long way.
They're in the playoffs for real, though.
But I'm telling you, they are the worst team of the major four teams.
Shut up, Chris.
But they're not.
Down on the Marlins, Chris. You really do. Even Billy laughed at you. And Billy was willing to put on his Homer Marlins cape at any point.
The Dolphins won 5 games last year.
The Dolphins have Tua. The Dolphins have a legitimate quarterback. I'm telling you, this is not even shtick. The Panthers are the worst team of the major four teams right now. That's it. Enjoy that.
So the only qualification you have for the Dolphins being ahead is that they have a quarterback that may not start the season.
Well, and they have like two of the top five best cornerbacks in the league. They've had a good offseason. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Okay. All right.
How many quarterbacks do the Panthers have, Anthony?
I'm telling you.
Zero.
You guys are mocking me. First of all, I'm going to take a victory lap on this Marlins team, Billy. Don't let me forget. You don't forget.
What? Who's forgetting? Who's forgetting here?
I forgot.
Somebody needs to forget.
Remember.
A year ago, Billy, 2 years ago, you guys were crushing this Marlins team, and Chris was saying, let's wait it out.
Were they good 2 years ago?
No. They had just gotten here, and I was saying that, like, let's not judge Jeter's moves. And now, 2 years later, we're feeling pretty good about this team.
I said the same thing.
I have my finger on the pulse of this area as far as teams, and I'm telling you, the Panthers have become the worst team of the major four. I'm just going to keep saying it.
Stop saying it. It's not true. The Dolphins have not played a game yet. So you're going to have to wait on the Dolphins before you can make that assessment.
Yeah, but in this business, Roy, we are supposed to project.
No, not Roy. Roy's a numbers man. He's about assessments.
We're dealing with the present right now. You're projecting the future. Right now, the Dolphins are the worst team in South Florida until they play a game. That's the facts.
Okay. Right. Are you already giving the Marlins credit for being better than the Panthers?
I'm not, because the Panthers are currently in the playoffs.
All right. We'll circle back. I'm just saying, I actually genuinely believe what I'm saying. I think Tua is going to take the Dolphins to the next level, and I think that this sports town is on the up and up. It's almost a compliment that the Panthers are in the playoffs, and I think that they're the team with the least upside of these four teams moving forward.
Not a compliment at all.
It's a compliment to how, like, this sports town is, I think, doing better than it was, like, 2 years ago. Like, we actually have every team except for Inter Miami is, like, looking – I'm happy to be a fan of all these teams right now. And I haven't said that in a long time.
You're absolutely right. I believe Tua will take the Dolphins.
That's what I mean. Like, my point is like, there can be genuine upside and enthusiasm for fans of those four teams right now.
When we come back, we're going to break down the Dolphins' schedule. Call in with your predictions, 305-567-0560 or pound 560 for Verizon and AT&T wireless users.
Do they even have a schedule yet?
I don't know. This felt like a really like old school, like 90s 560 argument. So, and we're back. For those of you who were not privy to what we were doing in the break, we're trying to figure out how many times Dan cursed and where Chris can find them, because this is going to be a bit of an edit for him.
If we missed any, just DM or hit Anthony up on Twitter, because if it's posted, he's the one to talk to.
Yeah. Bombs at the GD, everybody.
Back to the Josh A. Smith thing, it made me realize that Stephen A. Smith is a cooler name than I thought it was.
Yeah.
Because Stephen A. Smith just like flows, and it's like, that's a cool name. But Josh A. Smith, like if Stephen A. Smith, the ESPN personality, had the name Josh A. Smith, he wouldn't have the same coolness.
Whatever was Stephen B. Smith.
Let's go over this. All right. Right now, head to head, Stephen A. Smith or Stephen B. Smith?
Stephen A. Smith.
Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah. Ooh. I feel like I can skip ahead a little bit. Maybe Stephen.
Okay. Stephen A. Smith or Stephen C. Smith?
Stephen A. Smith.
Ooh.
Roy, I think your thing is muted or something. I can't hear you.
Hello.
There you go. I kind of like Stephen E. Smith.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet. Hold on just a second.
We're going to go
Stephen A. Smith or Stephen D. Smith?
Ooh.
I think I might go D.
I might go D.
I don't know about that, man.
All right. So we'll tie goes to Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith or Stephen E. Smith?
E.
A.
A.
I think A too. Stephen A. Smith or Stephen F. Smith?
F.
A. I don't think we're going to.
Stephen A. Smith or Stephen G. Smith?
I like G. Stephen G. Smith.
G sounds good.
Really. I feel like it's smooth.
Me too. So right now, Stephen G. Smith is leaving. Okay, Stephen G. Smith or Stephen H. Smith?
Stephen G.
The interesting part of this is that I was kind of talking about the first names. Like, we should just do every single first name with A. Smith as opposed to changing the middle initial. But it's fine.
Got A. Smith.
Okay, so Stephen G. Smith or Stephen I. Smith?
G.
G.
Yeah, I'm going to use G also. Okay, Stephen A. Smith or Stephen J. Smith? Oh,
J.
Yeah, Stephen J. Smith right now is leading.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, Stephen J. Smith or Stephen K. Smith?
No, let's think of a J on that one.
If he was a pitcher, Stephen K. Smith would be good.
That's a good point.
But he's not.
I haven't heard anything that beats Stephen A. Smith yet.
Well, Stephen J. Smith.
Yeah, Stephen J.
Well, Stephen G. Smith beat Stephen A. Smith. You thought E. Smith beat A. Smith, but E. Smith didn't beat A. Smith. G. Smith beat A. Smith, and then J. Smith beat G. Smith.
E. Smith is my favorite besides A. Smith so far, but I think A. Smith is still winning. Go ahead.
All right, we were by K, but he's not a pitcher, okay. Stephen J. Smith or Stephen L. Smith?
I can never be Stephen L. Smith.
No.
Never.
No.
I don't know.
No, there's no L's in Stephen J.
No, yeah, there's no L's.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Stephen A. Smith or Stephen M. Smith?
J.
J.
All right. Stephen J. Smith or Stephen N. Smith?
No, I'm Stephen J. on that one, yeah.
Yeah, me too. All right. Stephen J. Smith or Stephen O. Smith?
Oh, I like that
one. Wait a minute.
Wow.
Stephen O. Smith. But then he sounds different. He sounds like a different, you know.
Yeah.
Sounds like O. Smith.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen O. Smith. And you're like, oh, okay. No, J wins.
Okay. Stephen J. Smith or Stephen P. Smith?
Oh.
Stephen P. Smith.
I think I'm sticking with J on that
one. Yeah.
All right. Stephen J. Smith or Stephen Q. Smith?
Ooh, Q.
Stephen Q. Smith is pretty.
I don't like John Q.
That sounds like a...
I think I'm still going A. I think A is in the lead.
A's gone.
I feel like we're just playing this game just to play it at this point. Like nothing.
We'll stick with J.
All right, J.
All right, Stephen R. Smith or Stephen J. Smith?
I'm staying with J. Milton.
Yeah.
All right, Stephen S. Smith or Stephen J. Smith?
Whoa, you could be triple S.
Stephen S. Smith has a nice ring to it.
Yeah, if he goes by S middle name, you just got to. He's got to be triple S going forward.
Yeah.
Which is what happens.
I might just call him S.
Yeah.
So we're going to go with Stephen S. Smith. All right, we've moved on. Stephen S. Smith. So for those of you just joining us, which is weird because it's a podcast, why would you start like 42 minutes into a podcast? But if you did, for whatever reason, Stephen A. Smith became Stephen E. Smith, became Stephen G. Smith, became Stephen J. Smith, became Stephen S. Smith. So Stephen S. Smith or Stephen T. Smith?
Ooh.
I think
Stephen T. Smith.
I think we're an S.
All right, we'll stick with us.
Yeah, I like us. All right, Stephen S. Smith or Stephen U. Smith?
You just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds Stephen, like a different last name.
Stephen S. Smith or Stephen V. Smith?
No, still S.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Stephen S. Smith or Stephen W. Smith?
Stephen W. Smith. Stevie says Dubs. It all in the name. Stevie Dubs. Dubs.
All right. So you guys like that
one? I like W. Yeah. Stephen W. Smith.
I'm sticking with A.
No, A's gone. Roy?
Yeah, W.
Okay, so we moved on. I was going to stick with S, but Stephen W. Smith or Stephen X. Smith?
Oh, X.
Whoa. Wow. X is such a powerful.
All right, so Stephen, are we going with X?
Yeah, I think we got to go with X.
I'm sticking with A.
Okay, what? Stephen X. Smith or Stephen Y. Smith?
No, I don't think so.
Sounds like Y. Smith.
Okay. Stephen X. Smith or Stephen Z. Smith?
I feel like we're petering out here.
Well, it's the last
one. The end.
Stephen Z. Smith.
That sounds like you're saying Stephen the Smith, but like real pretentiously. Stephen Z. Smith. Stephen Z. Smith.
So are you saying yes to that one?
No, I think X. I think X would be the more powerful.
Yeah. All right, so just a quick recap. So what was everyone's favorite? Did everyone land on X? Because I think I want to go back to Stephen J. Smith.
I go with Stephen A. Smith.
All right.
I'm going to stick with X.
All right. So when did the Panthers play again, Roy? Today?
Tomorrow?
Right.
Tomorrow.
He played today.
Would not be good for them to play back-to-back-to-back days there. So they'll play
Roy, are you calling it, Roy? Are you calling them coming back in the series, or does it end in Game 5?
If they do exactly what they did yesterday. They
so will, win. So if they win.
Well, if they win, I believe they will win.
So if they win Friday, you think they win the series?
I wouldn't say that.
What'd you just say? If they win game five, then they win game five is what you just said?
No, I said if they do exactly what they did yesterday, which was game three,
we'll win
game four, which will force game five.
So if they do exactly what they did yesterday, which is win.
So if they win game four, then they'll force game five. Got it.
All right, Roy. That is – thank you.
You're all welcome.
Talk to you guys tomorrow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.